It continues to evolve over time. We've gotten some really clear direction from City Council around taking the broadest possible definition of blues and roots and not just thinking about that as a genre that is a really specific like set of time signatures or any of those pieces. It's allowing us to go, what is the influence of these genres on today's music? What is the spectrum that lives within this? And so, in programming it this year, really taking that broader approach. So, we have someone like Taya, who's our opening act. They're part of the RBC First Up Emerging Artists Program. They're a Vancouver local. They have been doing their thing. They also tap dance in the middle of their sets. So, like, something totally different, but a really nice piece there. And then to contrast what they're up to with someone like Julie Black, who obviously, queen of Canadian soul, but then to have Tok headlining and with his storytelling and showmanship, like it's that whole broad experience, and it makes me so happy.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And okay, for somebody who's coming for their first time, this is sort of like a rain or shine type of event, right?
Absolutely. I mean, unless it gets to the point where it's unsafe to
Of
continue,
course.
but generally speaking, yeah, rain or shine, we're going to be out there in the park having a great day.
Absolutely. So dress accordingly, guys. Bring all the things that you need so that you're
Bring your
comfortable.
sunscreen. We'll have some extra, but like it can be quite warm in the park.
Okay, and so my next question, I know the answer to this, but I do like to ask it for the listeners. Is this a ticketed event?
It is not. Folks may recall it having been ticketed in the past, but since 2023, it has been a completely free festival. Folks are welcome to swing by for part or all of the day, and it's completely free to come by and enjoy the music.
I love it. And guys, did you hear that? It is free. It is free. It is free. So I love, love, love to hear that. And before I let you go, is there anything that we might have missed in the conversation that you might want to share?
The only other thing I can think of is we have some artist partners with the Shadbolt Centre for the Arts being right on the site, and they'll have some other activities available. So if folks in between acts are looking for something to check out, there'll be some different art activities happening. I think our friends from the Burnaby Art Gallery will be there with some art prints. The Burnaby Village Museum, I believe, is bringing their Indigenous games out. So there'll be a variety of activities.
Love
The
it.
kids will have some fun if they need a break from the music. And yeah, there'll really be something for all ages.
I love that. Guys, again, it's free. It is on Saturday, August the 8th, at Deer Lake Park. And there is also at the Burnaby Village Museum, there's going to also be sort of some concerts earlier in the day if you want to check that out. But pretty much a lot of fun stuff. How can we get connected to you guys online just in case we want to, get more information? Are you on the, social media streets? How can we connect?
Absolutely. Yeah. On Instagram, you'll find us at Burnaby underscore Blues Roots or at City of Burnaby. And in terms of our website, it's burnaby.ca/bluesroots.
Love that. And guys, I will put those links in the show notes so that you can easily click on it. You don't have to get all flustered trying to write that down if you were out in the streets as you're listening. Okay, Lois, I want to thank you again for joining me. This sounds like a really awesome event. Lots happening, so it's more than just music. There's music, art, food, great connection, community, and great for the whole family.
Thank you so much for having me, Nicole.
And that was my conversation with Lois Dawson at the Burnaby, well, with the City of Burnaby, but we were talking about the Burnaby Blues and Roots Festival, and that is happening on Saturday, August the 8th, from 3:30 to 10 at Deer Lake Park. And remember, you can also go to Burnaby Village Museum earlier in the day if you are wanting more music, if you want a full day of music, you can kind of get all of that happening by heading over to Burnaby Village Museum earlier. Now, next up, we do have the final interview for the show today. It is one that was done by SFU student volunteer and CJSF programmer Coriana. She spoke with Alina Bichkova, a registered dietitian with Timber Creek Tertiary Care Facility. Let's take a listen.
Okay, hello. Right now I'm here with Alina Bichkova, who's a registered dietitian who currently works at Timber Creek Tertiary Care Facility and as well as the Adolescent Day Treatment Program. Please say hello.
Hello, thanks for having me on the show. So I've been a dietitian for a decade now. I started off at UBC 2 years in the Faculty of Land and Food Systems. But after introduction day, when you're in a room filled with like 300 plus people,
yeah,
and then 80% of them raise their hand when they're asked the question, who's applying to become a dietitian?
Wow.
And then they told us only 20 of you are going to get it, so I'd pick another career.
Oh, wow.
So I soon realized that I needed to come up with another plan. Mm-hmm. So the schools on the East Coast work differently, where you can get the education and then apply for the internship afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I moved across the country, got my degree at Acadia University in Nova Scotia. And then I did a Master of Applied Human Nutrition there as well, at Mount St. Vincent University before I got accepted to my internship program. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that getting an internship and becoming a dietitian is by far my life's biggest accomplishment.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a big... I didn't know that. They said raise your hand and then most of the class wouldn't get the specific dietitian degree.
Yeah.
It's, I think I know a little bit about it, that with their UBC program, they have the more general nutrition degree and then the specialized dietitian mm-hmm. degree.
Yeah, like you get in and you do like the education and the internship is combined once you're in,
right.
But you don't get the specialized like course choices.
Oh.
And they only said you can apply twice.
Wow.
And don't even bother applying after that unless you have a specialized circumstance. So
wow.
On the East Coast, you can like keep applying nonstop. So
yeah.
It seemed like it was the less risky way to go.
Wow. What kept you going into applying? Like you knew that you wanted to do it and go into this field for sure.
Yeah. So it's what inspired me to become a dietitian that was pushing me. So my family genetics always has kind of made life unsettling. So mm-hmm. both my parents have high blood pressure, high cholesterol,
right.
And I was kind of growing up just trying to accept that I was going to someday die from a heart attack.
Yeah.
it wasn't a good way to live. And then it wasn't until a grade 9 health seminar. And they just announced like, hey, we're just going to be talking about health. There's free pizza. And I just had free pizza. Like, I'm there.
Yeah.
I didn't care about the other stuff at the time. And so we're there eating this pizza. Mm-hmm. And then the facilitator was like, okay, so let's talk about the pizza. Like, is it a good food? Is it a bad food? And I remember everyone synonymously went, bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then she asked, she's like, well, why? Like, what if the crust was whole wheat? Like, what if there was veggies on the pizza? Like, what if there was chicken on here instead of pepperoni? And
right.
It was kind of like this light bulb went off in my head where I was like, okay, well, maybe I don't have to die from a heart attack.
Yeah.
Maybe I can delay it by 20 years and maybe I can help, you know, do this for other people. And I kind of just wanted to chase that feeling.
Interesting. That's awesome. Do you think that with growing up in the like the high cholesterol environment and et cetera, and then now you studying nutrition, do you feel like kind of change your family's opinions about it? Or
well, counseling with family members is always hard. Mm-hmm. They don't like to take advice from their children.
No,
so that's a little tough. And then in another aspect, you do learn about how strong of a component genetics is,
mm-hmm.
being that I have followed my own recommendations for a heart healthy diet and I still had to start taking statin just last year.
Wow.
Because my own advice doesn't work
for genetics.
Because there's like this 60 to 80% genetic factor. So just keeping that in mind.
Combine healthy lifestyle and medication.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's any mental blockage from starting the statin then? Or if you, or it was like, I know that I need to do this kind of thing?
Yeah, oh no, no, I'm not afraid of taking medications. I don't think of it as a, like, I failed in any way, but I like to remind people that, like, you know, like, here's my advice, try it all, mm-hmm. and if it doesn't work, don't beat yourself up.
Yeah.
And just give something else a try.
Good advice, good advice. So more about your background as well. So you said that, you studied nutrition, you did your bachelor's, and then now you're working as a dietitian. I think we spoke about it a little before, about what your day-to-day, like, where you work and mm-hmm. etc. But if you could elaborate on that again, like, what does your week look like mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right now?
Okay, so let me tell you about where I worked before mm-hmm. First. So after my internship, I moved back to Vancouver because that's where all the jobs were.
Yeah.
And my first entry-level job was for a personalized weight loss company.
Mm.
Not necessarily did I love it, but at that point I was just so tired of, you know, being a server while I was going to school that I was just happy to have any job in dietetics that was not on evenings and weekends. And then within a year I was doing grocery store tours at Save on Foods, which was fun. You go with adults, you go with kids, talk about the different food groups in the aisles. And then I got a job working as a casual at Fraser Health. So my role here has evolved. Before I worked in different outpatient clinics, diabetes, heart health, diabetes and pregnancy, mm-hmm. positive health, so like HIV, neurology, seniors clinic, wow. the Canadian Clinic for Immigrants, lung health, like pre-admission if someone's getting a surgery.
Yeah.
And then I also did cover the current role I have now as a casual before. And now as of a year or a year and a half, I have a permanent position 2 days a week. So Timber Creek is the somewhat of a gray area between acute care and long-term care. Mm-hmm. And most of the people there have schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. So I help them with their snacks. It's hard because the food does come from the hospital mm-hmm. and it's the same every week. So mm-hmm. imagine, like, someone might be there for years and they do have limited, like, mental capacity to make changes. And even if they did want to make some changes,
they can't.
Yeah. And they're most often they're on disability, so they have a limited income. They might be spending that income on drugs. Mm. So I just kind of like to optimize their quality of life the best I can. If they're tired of a certain meal, can we swap it for something else? And then the other thing that I think is challenging to manage is when people are on antipsychotics, they, one, they become more hungry,
oh.
and two, they gain weight faster.
Oh, interesting.
So a lot of the time I might be tracking somebody and see that their weight is going up, and then it's, you know, it's a touchy subject for anybody
yeah.
to talk
yeah.
about their weight.
Oh, yeah.
So I might be like, okay, I'll try to go talk to them. And then I might sit down with them, and then they're like, great, I'm so happy to see you. I want double portions of my snacks. Can you send me more
oh.
meals, my meals? And then I have to, like, slow down and be like, okay, this is the opposite of how I wanted this to go. I'm going to double your vegetables. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
So there's little, like, stuff like that I've figured
like the
out
villain
to do.
Then. Wow. Do you think with all the roles in the different clinics, it's been such, like, a journey to tailor specific diets for specific, you know, disorders or specific functionings of life?
Yeah, like it's really kind of helped tie everything together. Like from one aspect, you do realize just how similar so many recommendations are. Like, are you getting enough protein for healing? Or like,
yeah,
you know, certain diseases drain more energy, so you're going to need more calories. And sometimes it's the opposite. So a lot of it is connected, you know. Lung disease, like heart disease, diabetes are tied together, or like eating for weight loss. So you do see a little bit more like the connections, and just keeping like maybe like a few focuses in mind depending on what the goals of care are.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And since you work kind of in an outpatient setting mostly, so,
mm-hmm.
Do you work on, you said that with the people with schizophrenia or mental disorder, you have to use the hospital meals. So you kind of have to tailor meals that are from hospital and outside of
yeah Yeah, it's mostly from the hospital. Sometimes they have care workers that help them do some shopping to bring in some snacks. Mm. And once in a while, they might have family that bring them in snacks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for the most part...
hospitals.
There's little control that they have.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, you know, they have bigger fish to fry with, you know, the voices inside their head.
Yeah.
Rather than
what
like,
they're eating.
Is this meal balanced, yeah. you know?
That's tricky. That is tricky. It's good that there's lots of staff to help with their areas of life then. Do you think, so other than, I didn't know that about the antipsychotics about getting extra hungry. Do they get also, is it just people with schizophrenia you deal with or?
I mean, once in a while, maybe bipolar, but I would say 99% of the people there have schizophrenia or schizoaffective disorder.
Interesting. And that... you see, is nutrition for them? I guess it's already hard for normal daily life for them, but what kind of differences in their nutrition compared to other people, other than the increased diet? And
I mean, yeah, other than I feel like they're a little bit more hungry and they do want larger portions. I feel like they also do have, there's a preference for more sweet foods and then just also kind of having misconstrued ideas about what that's gonna, like, that it's not gonna affect them. Or some people also have a fear of where they're afraid people are poisoning their food.
Oh yeah.
So that might be hard to manage, and a lot of people end up asking me for Ensures or Boost. Yeah. And then I have to sit down and tell them, like, this is, are you trying to gain weight? Because this is for gaining weight, and they just think of it as like this chocolate drink that's sealed so they don't have to worry about people putting like poison in there.
Right.
But it's usually hard to manage where you have some individuals that get like aggressive if you try to cut back on their Ensure, and
yes.
So the nurses have to be on play, and then yeah, so it's a
different situation.
Yeah.
Wow. With all that, with all the difficulties, are there things that you really do like about, I love working as a dietitian and parts of your job?
Yeah, for sure. So I like that with my job, it can technically apply to, you know, every single person in the world. You know, like there's math, there's computer science, there's gardening, there's dancing, whatever the skills are, most of them are not used by everyone daily. But when it comes to food, everyone eats. So it's this main thing that we all have in common as living beings and brings us all together in so many ways. So I always kind of remember that.
Yeah.
And I feel like I work for like the aha moment. Like when I see something resonate with someone, or when I tell them that they're allowed to eat a food that they've been avoiding for, they thought it was bad, or a doctor's told them it was bad.
Like the pizza, maybe.
Yeah, and then now they're able to eat it again and enjoy it. Like when I'm able to bring back joy into someone's life, or the aha moment, that's what's really rewarding for me in this field.
Yeah, it must be very satisfying then to make a change. That's awesome. And do you think with all this nutrition, all the nutrition education you've had and everything, and teaching others daily, do you think that this had an impact on your day-to-day nutrition?
Yeah, for sure. So just one of the ways is seeing just how hard it could be to get all like the vitamins and minerals that you need in the day and age where we often need less energy. So in this case for me, I try to not have like red meats too often. I'm not a vegetarian, but I just try to have, you know, just chicken or fish more regularly.
Right.
So I was tracking my intake for a couple months just for fun.
Yeah.
As all dietitians do. And then when I was seeing the breakdown in my FitnessPal, I realized that I was not meeting my iron needs, like maybe 30 to 50% of iron most days.
Right.
Unless I was having a red meat that day. Mm-hmm. So I started taking a supplement, just, you know, 1 to maybe 3 times a week for the iron. Or sometimes, you know, it might inspire me to try something new. You know, I'm talking to somebody and then they tell me they had barley soup, and I might go, oh, like I haven't had barley in a while, and then I throw it into my next grocery order. So
oh, nice.
Yeah.
Some tips from the patients you talk to as well. That's good. Awesome. And with the nutrition advice that you give others and sometimes take yourself, Do you think there are any challenges with people not accepting your advice?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes, all the self-proclaimed nutrition experts and documentaries and on social media now, or even doctors that give inaccurate nutrition advice. Mm-hmm. No offense to doctors, just some of them know less about nutrition than others. And hence my biggest challenge is just navigating the sea of misinformation that I'd like to call it.
Yeah.
It is hard when somebody, like, to watch somebody not take your advice and you just know how many problems it's going to cause for them later when it's going to be too late, like not having enough calcium when you're younger and you're going to have osteoporosis when you're older, or, you know, like missing out on vitamins and minerals because you don't even want to try whole grains, or you like dislike all vegetables because they're quote unquote, call them rabbit food. The amount of times people say that. It's a nerve. And then they end up with Alzheimer's later, or people that, you know, don't eat fish, refuse to take supplements, also might contribute to Alzheimer's later when it's already too late.
Right.
Ultimately, you just have to focus on what you can control. You know, not everyone's going to be open to your advice. You have to let them go on their own journey. You don't have the time and energy to correct every nutrition fact.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of trolls out there that start arguing with you that, like, don't know what they're talking about. So I did that, like, a couple of times, and I'm like, no.
I can't do this.
So, yeah, you just can't convince everybody if they're not ready to hear it, and that's sometimes it's hard. I've had, like, friends that were like, nope, I refuse to believe you that margarine's better than butter. Don't even talk to me about it. Don't bring it up. I'm like, okay, I just have a master's degree, but I guess you're better, you know? So you just have to...
You have to let the
put a pin on certain things.
That must be difficult then. Especially when you have all the information that you know is scientifically based, and then someone's opinion is just like, no. I think that's the tricky part of nutrition I've found in dietetics is that, like, the advice things that people think they know what's best, mm-hmm. which I think would be a common struggle I've seen mm-hmm. so far. But I think overall it seems very rewarding, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. And with that, the misconceptions as well, you said, do you have any specific ones that you've heard or you'd like people to be more aware of?
I did allude to it just now, but there is this misconception where the word natural has this halo effect that natural foods are better, which is not the case. You know, margarine, as long as it's non-hydrogenated, it's just a fancy word for no trans fat, is going to be way better for you than butter or coconut oil.
Right.
So again, a lot of people try to argue with me on that. honey, maple syrup is not going to be better for you than sugar, brown sugar, it's all going to have a similar effect. So that's my one advice, is just because something's natural, don't rush to make assumptions. Or also when I see people spending money on organic foods for which the peel is not going to be removed. So the pesticides are mostly going to be concentrated in the skin of the fruit or vegetable. So when I see people spending money on like a pineapple or like an orange or a banana where you're just going to take the peel and toss it away, the sinner voice is like, don't do it. Don't spend the extra like $2. So those are the main things that come to mind.
That is true. And my mom's a culprit of that, the organic foods, where she always buys it, tries everything organic. But yeah, the peel thing, that is a good point to
make. Now you can tell her.
Yeah. Be like, I think you're gonna have to take off the skin at some point. So okay, awesome. And last question. This is just something I always like to ask, but what do you think others' first assumptions are about your job? So this could be, you know, colleagues to patients to family.
No, it's that I make meal plans, and it's the main thing I do. I want to clarify, most dietitians hate making meal plans. They're like, they're not followed, like they take so long to make, and even if I make you the most tailored meal plan to all your preferences to fit your diet, today you might go, I don't feel like salmon for lunch. And it goes all out the window. So unless you're an athlete, you have an intense goal that affects you personally and professionally, the most average person isn't going to follow a rigid meal plan. Or if it's maybe for like a really short period of time, for like a month, or they're losing weight for a wedding or something like that. So we don't like making them. We no. just prefer to give you tips. Can we swap something? Can you replace this? Can we sneak that in? That's normally how I like to work. So, I mean, ChatGPT can make you a meal plan, so...
True.
Yeah, dietitians do more than that.
I did actually have extra questions about the ChatGPT, because I know that that's a really big thing now that I think every job is affected. Do you feel like that you know a lot more people using ChatGPT as dietitians, or you yourself too, like having some tips from it?
Well, I know that, you know, AI is taking over so many different, or blending into so many different fields, and I know AI is gonna kind of tie in with maybe helping find patterns. It can't fully replace a dietitian in the sense that you'll still need to know, like, on a personal level what may or may not work for them. And take things with a grain of salt. You might not know when certain advice is incorrect or might be contradictory. Like, I think I heard about somebody going on ChatGPT and it was telling him to take a certain salt, but it was a type of salt that was, like, toxic.
Oh no.
Or, like, boron or something like that. No. So, you know, ChatGPT is not always going to know that. So, I would always run things by a dietitian. And there is free access to dietitians in BC. Like, if you dial, like, is it 711, those are the services, so you can connect with the nurse or dietitian on the phone. So if you're wondering something, you could try ChatGPT, but don't take it with a grain of salt, please.
Yeah, don't abide by it.
Yeah.
Good. Awesome. Okay, well, thank you so much for chatting with me.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
And just like that, we are officially at the end of the show. Next up is Democracy Now! And if you're a listener of Speak Up, tomorrow's host, Jesse, will be sharing some interesting stories and music. I want to thank you so much for listening. And Sunflower Dreams is going to play us out with a fresh new track released earlier this month on July 10th. Here is her track, Lost.